to get up, get out of bed. Fill your cup and get ahead with WKGN. 1-3-4-0.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Fan Run Radio.
Rick Barnes and the Tennessee Volunteers all raised their shirts. They are the SEC Tournament Champions. Mark will hold it, and so he and the Volunteers will hold the trophy. SEC Tournament Champions to match their regular season title.
You know who Hendon Hooker is, returning quarterback for Tennessee, a dark horse Heisman candidate.
Haven't even said it on my own airwaves yet. I think Tennessee's going to beat Georgia this year.
Assuming it's not Alabama, it's not Georgia who wins the SEC, what other team is there that could challenge for the SEC title?
Well, I'm a little curious about Tennessee. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see if they can make that step and be a division contender.
Well, then I guess there's only one thing left to do.
What's that?
Win the whole thing.
Yes!
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, that's no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Dancing.
We can go when we want to, night is young and so am I.
Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios Fan Run Radio. It is 3 and Out. Houston Kress, Adam Hickman, intern Brett with you on this Wednesday. Oh, gee, what should we lead with? Maybe some World Cup, a little basketball schedule, maybe some score breakdown from last night. Anything go on last night that's got you guys, happy, sad, fired up, angry, ready to throw rocks through windows? In Hickman's case, maybe murder people in cold blood?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a way I can give that rant pre-show I did.
Yeah, you can't give it that way. We got FCC rules that we are required by law to follow. I guess that pretty much settles it where we're starting here. The college football playoff rankings were released last night, 7 o'clock p.m. And boy, it's a doozy.
I don't know why I'm upset. I had a week to prepare for it.
Yeah, I mean, we even all said yesterday exactly what was going to happen. It's just, I'll be honest, seeing it happen, I wasn't upset. But then listening to people explain their their logic, them showing their work, which was just it was all just fake. It was all just terrible, talking in circles, double standards, defending one team in a certain way and then punishing another team for the exact same. It makes absolutely no sense. Your rankings are as follows. Georgia, number one, of course. Michigan slides up to 2. TCU to 3. Southern Cal jumps 2 spots. They are now the 4th team in to the college football playoff. Ohio State falls 3 spots to 5. And then the question was, who's at 6? Is it Bama or is it Tennessee? Both teams, 10-2. Tennessee beats Alabama head-to-head. The other team that beat Alabama, Tennessee goes into their house and smokes them. That was LSU in a 40-13 beatdown. Tennessee, of course, a 14-point loss on the road at Georgia, which until Ohio State's loss to Michigan, actually, I guess, no, yeah, because we were number one, was the number one best win, or excuse me, loss of the season, because apparently that's a big thing now, good losses over great wins. Bama's best win is over an 8-4 Ole Miss team. Tennessee, of course, wins over Bama, LSU. At the time, you know, Florida was ranked, Pitt was ranked. South Carolina is now 19 at 8-4. But Bama gets the sixth spot. Tennessee, seventh. Tennessee jumps three spots after a win at Vanderbilt to get to seven. Bama jumps one spot after beating Auburn. And honestly, I'm okay with it if they had just told us the truth. The loss to South Carolina was bad. Hendon Hooker's out. We just think Alabama is the better team right now. But that's not what they said. It's not what they said. Boo, what is it? Is it Kerrigan? Cardigan? Yeah. Corrigan?
He's a dumbass, so who cares if we pronounce his name right?
Slippy, Slappy, Swanson?
That inbred SOB.
Well, it was interesting. He gets on with Reese Davis, and Reese doesn't ask him about it, which I get it. Everyone's focused on the top four right now. Tried to ask him about a hypothetical if Michigan were to lose to Penn State, because this Boo guy has no idea what teams are playing on conference championship weekend. Of course, Michigan will play Purdue, not Penn State.
That's the type of people that run this damn committee.
Yeah.
That are responsible for dictating the outcome of a team season.
Yeah, I did see the, like, if the BCS was still in existence, what the rankings would be. And we'll get to that a little bit later, because right now I'm just fuming over, not necessarily the ranking again, just their logic behind it. But after he goes on with Reese, because I think he only got, what, two, three, maybe four questions with Reese Davis. It was very short, which is weird. It's already a short show, and they went pretty quick on the release. But apparently after that, he walked back a couple of things he said about how Bama, Ohio State, and Southern Cal's spots are not set. So, like, if Michigan were to lose to Purdue, the thought process there is that Alabama could jump Ohio State because then Ohio State's loss to Michigan looks even worse. It was very strange because the question is, of course, all these teams that are done now and will not play on Conference Championship Saturday, can they still kind of maneuver within the rankings? And he dodged the question and then went back later off air and said, yes, that's possible that some teams could still move, which does open up a slight window in a weird way that Tennessee could still jump Alabama. I don't know that that would happen. I don't know what scenario that would have to play out.
Bryce Young hurt himself before the final rankings came out.
Yeah, he
according slips, to their logic.
He slips coming out of the shower. But he was then asked about Tennessee and Alabama. And again, if he says, well, Hendon Hooker got hurt, they got blowed out by South Carolina, We don't think they're as good now as they were earlier in the season, yada, yada. I could at least understand that. But that's not what he said. He said, quote, Alabama's body of work is better than Tennessee's.
Which is just a 110% made up fabrication.
It makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense. Our body of work is beating Alabama head to head. We crushed the team that beat Alabama and LSU. We are the number one offense in the country in basically every category. We went 10-2 in a season we were supposed to go 7-5. What was Alabama's over-under at the beginning of the year?
11.
Was it 10.5, 11?
Yeah.
So we exceed expectations. They fall below expectations. We beat them head-to-head. We crush the team that beats them, both road games, by the way. We did that at LSU, and Bama lost at LSU. But I guess the theory is because Bama lost two close games and had just amazing wins over teams like Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and Texas, that their body of work is better than Tennessee's.
Yeah, he also made a comment about Ohio State not necessarily staying ahead of Alabama in the last rankings.
Yeah, that's what I just said. Well, that they could still maneuver around.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense.
No, it does. Right. It makes perfect sense. Because they are doing anything they can to try to maneuver Alabama into the, like, if TCU and Southern Cal lose, and I don't know what has to happen there. Like, if the Michigan, Penn State or Michigan-Purdue game. But it feels like they are just looking for any way to say, yeah, Bama is better than Ohio State. And now that TCU and USC have lost, Bama's in. And then I don't know if they'd slide Bama in at four to give us a Georgia-Bama first-round matchup, Michigan-TCU, and have probably Michigan and then Bama or Georgia for the championship. That's, if you're looking at the money grab that this thing is, that's probably what they want. But it just, I don't know. None of it really makes any sense. Like, again, it's not the fact that we're seventh. It's their garbage logic that makes no sense out of this. I'm trying to think if it was Pollock or if it was Herb Street or if they both agreed. But LSU comes in at 14, Florida State comes in at 13, and someone says, well, that makes perfect sense because Florida State and LSU have the exact same record. LSU lost to Florida State in the opening game of the year. Yes, it was a one-point loss, but that one-point loss, that is deserving of Florida State to be one spot ahead of LSU. Identical record, and Florida State won head-to-head. Then they get to 6-7 and say, yeah, I could see Alabama ahead of Tennessee because, you know, they don't have Hendon. They at least had the right argument. Like, they don't have Hendon Hooker. They're coming off a really bad loss. That Florida State game, though, was, you know, the opening game of the season. Like, none of it makes any sense. It just depends on who they want more in the important spot as to which logic they go to. But if you look at their – what did they have? Seven lists of criteria? Like, head-to-head was one. Common opponent was two. All these other things that, you know, overall like record.
Versus the top 25.
Right. Tennessee had every single mark over Alabama. Every single one. The only thing that was in there that it wasn't even like a bullet point. It's like an aside, and it was the if there is a significant player injured late in the year, we may take that into account if teams are very close. And if a team did not have a significant player while they lost a game, but since that player has returned, has looked really good, we might use that to make the difference. Like, that's in there. Just say that. Don't say their body of work is better because it's just not.
Which that's that whole player being out bullet point there on their criteria is just complete and utter horse crap. They follow that when they want to because
right.
they let
right.
Ohio State in with a third-string quarterback in Cardale Jones.
They 100% do. It is a that is a get-out-of-jail-free card for the committee that they can use when and if they want it, and that's what I don't like. Also, are we looking at this year or are we looking at years past? Because if the committee looks at Joe Milton and wants to do this year and look at his stats for this year, how do you know our offense is going to take a step back? He's played one full game in the rain, on the road. We won by 56 against another common opponent with Alabama. They only won by 53.
At Alabama.
Yeah, at home. So if you're saying, oh, because they don't have Hendon Hooker, they're not going to be as good. Well, we beat the same team that Bama beat by more at Vanderbilt. We just adjusted our offense and ran for 400 yards. How, if anything, that should be a bigger mark for Tennessee. Hey, wow, they lost their Heisman candidate quarterback, went to Vanderbilt, and beat them worse than Bama did at home.
And like, I know
with a backup quarterback.
And I know Vanderbilt sucks.
Sure,
but, I mean,
but they were the hottest team in the country.
That's still a Vandy team that, when you look how they performed against the spread and being an underdog the last 2 weeks, they were hot. They were, and it didn't matter because we rolled in there and thumped them.
Yeah, like, I obviously know Kentucky stinks. I know Vanderbilt stinks. I know Florida's not very good. But that was two really good back-to-back wins for Vanderbilt. Hickman said it, hottest team in the country. Now that team, of course, is South Carolina, who went from unranked to, what did I say, 19th?
Yeah.
I think that's actually the biggest jump of the college football playoff season so far in 1 week for a given team. Now, granted, obviously they're kind of stacking two wins back-to-back. But South Carolina finishes – I mean – you look at the losses. Like, our losses are not bad. It's the number one team in the country and an 8-4 South Carolina team, who I agree is not very good, but now you look at it and they're 19th and 8-4.
Just beat Clemson on the road.
LSU went 9-3.
And they're 11, yeah,
11. It makes no sense.
We're in a scenario now where actually South Carolina maybe picking up that win over Missouri about a month ago would have done you a lot more good because they were probably
yeah.
if they
no,
do
you're
that,
probably right.
They're ranked higher now. They're sitting at 9-3.
It's just funny to me. Alabama's two losses, right? Tennessee and LSU have a combined 5 losses between them. Tennessee's 2 losses? 4. So you want to go back to body of work? Well, the teams that beat Alabama have 5 losses. The teams that beat Tennessee have 4. Because South Carolina's 8-4. Georgia's obviously 12-0. About to go 13-0. Probably about to go 15-0 and win a national championship unless something crazy happens. Nothing about what they said made sense. Not a single word that came out of Boo's mouth or Reese's mouth, because they didn't talk about Tennessee much last night. which I get it. Again, we're closer to the playoff. The top four is what matters. But I think all those guys have kind of learned their lesson of like, yeah, we're not going to get into this dogfight anymore. I will give before the show started, they were interviewing Joey Galloway, and he said I could absolutely understand Tennessee fans wanting to make the case, and I think they have a case for Tennessee to be ahead of Alabama. I don't know that it'll happen. He at least gave the there is an argument to be made here, but Pollock and Reese and Herb Street, they just kept their mouth shut and said we don't really want to even talk about Tennessee anymore.
They know
it's a scheme. It's a scheme.
Pollock at least did give us like the, you know, the respect of saying that, you know, Tennessee. I mean, he pretty much the same thing that what's his face said. I mean, he said that we do have an argument, and you know, he did accredit a lot of the reasons.
That's true. He did.
Penn and Hooger.
I guess I meant after the entire release, they didn't go back. When we came in at 7, Pollock did say because they actually paused quite a long time before 7. They were like, in the team at 7, who's it going to be? And they discussed it for a second. And then when it was Tennessee, yeah, Pollock was kind of saying, I mean, I guess I get it, but they do have a really good argument to say we should be the 6th best team in the country.
I would rather the committee put us at 8 as opposed to 7 and behind Alabama. I would rather Penn State be 7 and us be 8 and them just be like, okay, yeah, Hendon Hooker's hurt. You know, we don't think this is a top 7 team right now. Because if you put
at least that gives you an insulation team to say, yeah, we don't really think it's Tennessee or Alabama. We think it's Alabama, then Penn State, then Tennessee. Here's why.
Yeah, and you put Tennessee directly behind Alabama. Like, there's no way you can convince me that that's just not a direct shot and brand bias.
It's 100% brand bias, and I find it difficult to imagine everyone on the committee would not like. I'm just, like that conversation was had, correct?
Had to be.
Are we sure? Like, they don't even know that Penn State's not playing in the Big Ten Championship. So I don't know. But surely to God, someone on that committee, when they're ranking 6 and 7, said, hey, everyone, real quick, we are taking into account that Tennessee beat Alabama and Tennessee stomped the other team that beat Alabama. Yes, we are. Like, did that get talked about, or did they just say, oh, it's Bama?
Talked about sounds like us losing South Carolina.
Yeah, for another week, which we get it. I don't know, man. Like, again, I'm not frustrated with the number. I mean, we're sitting here at 10-2. It's been a great season. It's been – we probably need to kind of go back and reflect on, like, favorite moments from games at some point, maybe this week or next week. Mm-hmm. It has been a magical run this year, and I think Pollock even said that. In fact, there was one point late in the broadcast where they were like, oh, what a magical year for Tennessee. They were talking about us like we were the dumb kid at the table. Mm-hmm. Like, we had no business being there. And in a way – because we did it so fast, I guess I get it. But come on, man. Like, don't talk down to this fan base and this team as if they didn't accomplish. You know, like, TCU, although now their strength of schedule is apparently the best in the top 10, because they didn't have a Ball State. They didn't have an Akron. Everybody they played was bad, but their bottom bad wasn't as bottom bad as some of the teams that, like, Alabama played, we played.
The way they talked about us as it was if this was just, you know, one magical stroke
right.
of luck.
Yes.
And that we're never going to be back in this position again.
Yeah.
And what those dumbasses, like, do those dumbasses not get that, like, we're the University of Tennessee?
Like, all we needed was someone to light the fuse, and Heupel's done that. That's what that was the most frustrated I got. Honestly, like, when Boo started talking, that was frustrating, but he didn't really talk about us. His comments afterwards upset me. But when they talked about us as if this was – like, talk about TCU like that. I get that they're still in it. This is a dream season for TCU. Like, they've never been – I mean, I guess under Patterson they were close-ish a couple of times. Like, but the games they've won, the comebacks, the lucky field goals, the lucky things that have happened, like, that's a magical lucky season for them. We beat Alabama. We won big games because of coaching and talent. And let's not forget that we're doing this after 30 guys jumped in the portal 2 years ago. Like, this isn't magic. This is good coaching. So I didn't appreciate that, them talking. It's like they think Tennessee will never, ever get back to this point and get this close to the playoff again. So congratulations, guys. Great run. You just came up a little short. I say, sorry, no, you're wrong. We just need good coaching here for the first time in 15 years, and now we're knocking on the door. Now, how quickly we can do it again, I don't know. But when this thing gets to 12, sorry, fellas, you're going to have to talk about us a lot.
And you got to think with TCU, I'm not calling this season a fluke.
It's a little fluky. I mean, it's a first-year head coach with a team. I don't know what their over-under was in Vegas.
Probably 7-6, maybe.
You think? I was wondering. Like, I mean, I don't know.
Sonny Dykes is a really good coach.
But it's year one. Like,
yeah, it's year one.
You know, you're not expecting a guy to go out there and win 12 games in year one.
But, I mean, this is really where I contribute TCU getting all their momentum and jumping up into the spotlight. So they play Colorado, who is arguably
awful.
The worst Power 5 team. Tarleton.
Are they about to hire Dion, by the way?
Sounds like it.
I don't know.
Tarleton sucks. SMU.
I don't know how good SMU is this year.
I don't think they're that
good. They took a step down.
And then week four of the season, TCU gets Oklahoma, who at the time people still didn't know what the deal was going to be there this season.
Right. And it's been a disaster.
And so they still had that early season ranking they were gifted for no reason. So you have a win over a high-ranked blue-blood opponent that ended up being absolute dog crap. And then they go to Kansas. Kansas's star quarterback gets hurt. Kansas was ranked 19th at the time. TCU holds them off 38-31. You have two kind of fluky wins that if you just didn't know anything about college football and you just know Oklahoma's like, oh, they beat Oklahoma. That's impressive.
Right,
they killed
them.
Oh, they beat a top 20 Kansas team. That's impressive. Well, if you really start to peel the layers of the onion back, it's not that impressive what they did early on this year to kickstart them on this path that they're on.
What did they do after the Kansas game?
After Kansas, they beat Oklahoma State in two overtimes, and then the following week after that, they played Kansas State, who absolutely just
Oklahoma
blew
State
it.
No longer ranked. Yeah, Kansas State blows a big lead in that game.
And then just
so
West Virginia, Texas Tech.
What was the Kansas State game?
The Kansas State game was 38-28. And I'm pretty sure Kansas State was up like 21-0 in that game at some point early on. And then like Texas. Texas gets the blue blood Texas bump the week before they play TCU. They climb into the rankings somehow, some way, which we all agree Texas is not that good.
No, I mean, Texas is 8-4. Their best game was probably the 1-point loss to Alabama after Ewers got hurt.
It's insane. And also, when it comes to the committee, something that we've not talked about that I think is the most frustrating part of this, Tennessee was ranked number one in the country.
Yep.
Playing number three Georgia. Georgia was three, right? Yeah, number three
Georgia. Yeah, three.
One versus Tennessee, number one, Georgia, number three. On the road at Georgia, the defending national champion, we lose by 14, we drop to number five. Ohio State, ranked number two in the country, hosting Michigan, number three in the country, a team that Georgia absolutely curb-stomped last year in the playoffs. They lose by 22, eight more points than us. Ohio State
at
goes
home.
From 2-5. At home, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just like, come on, man. Like, give us a break. Like, can we not find something to, like, consistently?
There's no, no.
It's, just, you, it's
you
horse
will,
crap.
You will not. There is no consistency. There is no consistency. You're right. Tennessee loses on the road by 14 in the rain.
To the best team in the country.
Which now, of course, they're number – but at the time, they were number three, so it's not
but
that
they
impressive.
Were still the best team in the country, though.
Like, oh, no, yeah.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah, well, and especially now we know that. And they drop four spots. Ohio State loses. They get housed at home by Michigan. They drop three spots. And I get it because now they only have one loss, so they're not going to drop them below Alabama. But it's just, again, no consistency. The same argument they use to defend Florida State being a spot ahead of LSU, they completely forget when Alabama's one spot ahead of Tennessee. They say, oh, no, 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 body of work. What? Well, what about LSU's body of work over Florida State? What are we talking about here? Is it body of work or is it head-to-head? Oh, it's whichever one we pick and choose at the time we want to pick and choose it. That's the problem. I have no problem with Tennessee being at 7. If you'd have told me, hey, at the end of the regular season, you're going to be 10-2 and ranked 7th in the country, I'd have signed up for that. I'd have taken it. But don't feed me all this BS. Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining and use circular logic to explain literally nothing but try to justify it. Just say it. Just say the fact that we want to keep Alabama, Ohio State, Southern Cal, Michigan, and Georgia as high as we possibly can because those are the teams that are going to make us money in the playoff. Those are the teams that – which makes no sense, really, because you look at some of the most watched games of college football. I think Tennessee has two of the top three.
Yeah.
And the only reason Ohio State, Michigan's number one, frankly, is because it was on a holiday weekend at noon when everybody is doing nothing, and they've got, you know, time to just sit back and watch some football.
They wouldn't even give us number one on the anger index.
It's an outrage.
Did you see who was number one on the anger index, which makes absolutely no sense?
No, who?
USC. They had USC at number one on the anger index.
They're in the playoff.
I know. Tennessee was number two.
Why would USC be upset?
They literally control their own destiny. And now,
yeah, they're in, and they got the Heisman. He's going to win the Heisman. Like, who cares?
Yeah, and like now at this point, boys, they should
be on the happy end.
Yeah, they should be like one of.
But you're finally in.
What'd they go last year? Well, 4-8,
like 5-7 or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like I mean, there's not that many of them, but that's a very happy fan base right now. That's a terrible ranking.
I want chaos, but at this point, if Michigan loses, they're still in. If Georgia loses, Michigan's still in if they lose, Brett.
Not 8-4 Purdue.
They're
14-point favorite.
I agree they shouldn't be in if they lose, but
you can't be in.
Michigan's in if they lose.
Georgia, what? Michigan, if they lose, they're in.
100%.
So if we get
one loss, are they going to jump Bama over Michigan? Yes, they can. There's going to be one loss teams in the playoffs.
When we lost to Georgia on the road.
But we had a chance to play our way back in. Michigan's in unless they lose by 30.
I don't even think 30 would do it.
I think 30. I think, like, that might be the magic number.
Like at this point, though, you just need as a Tennessee fan, you just need the root for all four teams in the top four to take care of business this coming weekend to avoid letting Nick Saban and Alabama in and Ryan Day and Ohio State.
All four lose, we're in.
No, if all four lose, I think Georgia, Michigan, I don't even know what you do at that point. You slot, cause
if they all lose, they'll probably just say, "Oh well, it was championship weekend." They're all still in.
I mean, if all four lose, Georgia and Michigan safe. Then you just slide Ohio State and Bama in, and they're still.
Yeah, at that point, Ohio State might jump USC.
Just because they have one loss, they stay in to a Purdue team.
I would think
that's been garbage.
I would think so.
God, you guys.
I mean, that's a Purdue team that can score a lot of points.
Because it's an added game, so the committee's going to say, well, a lot of teams didn't have to play this game, but they did, and they lost it, but that's their first loss, and a neutral side. And unless they get – and I don't think they're going to get blowed out by Purdue. I think Purdue could potentially play their guts out and win this game.
I mean, I feel like I'm more confident in them winning their championship than in the other three.
More confident in Michigan – oh, yeah.
I mean, do you think LSU has a better chance beating Georgia than LSU? Purdue?
Actually, no. No. I don't.
If LSU hadn't lost, maybe.
I just don't. I haven't really trusted LSU all year, and I just think Georgia's really steady. I think I would give Purdue a better shot over Michigan. Just because the Big Ten always has just kind of some weird stuff happen. Like those years when Ohio State would be like 9-1, and then they'd lose to Purdue by 50, and you're just kind of like, wait a minute.
I would give Georgia a 97% chance to beat LSU. I would give Michigan a 75% chance to beat Purdue. I would probably give – I think TCU, Kansas State's a toss-up, and then I think USC, 60% chance they beat Utah.
Georgia's an 83% favorite, according to the FPI. Michigan over Purdue. Michigan is an 89% favorite. So even the FPI kind of agrees with me. It's by 6 percentage points. It's nothing crazy. I would imagine TCU, Kansas State's going to be a lot more of a toss-up.
Yeah, I mean, it's game, right?
It's kind of weird because they're both purple, but this does look like TCU is a 53.9% favorite. So Hickman, your coin flip game call there is probably a good one. We're up against it. We need to hit our first break. When we get back, we'll get to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, continue breaking down.
No, there's nobody there.
Well, if you want to join the Big Orange Phillies phone lines.
I picked it up, and it goes beep, 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 beep.
865-546-8200. We are talking about the Shaft by the playoff committee. Back with more after this. We go straight to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Special call today, this morning, from Trent Krim of the Independent. Up early on this Wednesday. Trent, good morning, sir.
Trent Krim, the Independent.
Yeah.
Good morning. So, have you guys heard the rumor that Ohio State doesn't want to go to the Rose Bowl again? So they're politicking.
Yep.
to get the Orange Bowl. So why the hell do they get to politic where they want to go?
Bias. And they know that people have it. And I read something last night, Trent, and I have never seen this terminology before. When you have a quote-unquote cluster situation, politicking can exist. And
oh, there's about to be a cluster.
Cluster something.
There's about to be a – yeah. Yeah. Guys, I don't – I feel like this is where Danny White needs to step in and
– Yes.
And do his thing, right? Because I think we can all agree Sugar Bowl is like the – out of the playoffs, that's the one that's the premier. We're not going to get that. But honestly, like the time slot, the opponent we probably play – I don't even really prefer that. I prefer the Orange Bowl versus Clemson
I do too. Honestly, I'd prefer the Orange Bowl over North Carolina or Clemson over either the Cotton or the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It's a better time, probably a better opponent for us, especially if it's Clemson.
A better trip for the team, a better trip for the fans.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Danny White needs to start politicking himself. And honestly, the playoff committee should throw us a bone for screwing us.
Yeah. It, like,
I'm sorry, Ohio State. You don't want to play in a prestigious bowl again. Why don't you just don't play in a bowl at all? Stay home.
Well, and their conference has for years touted the importance of the Rose Bowl. I mean, like, in some cases, the playoff doesn't even matter if you can make – like, that's – I mean. It, like, the Rose Bowl hasn't lost that much luster. I feel like the Sugar Bowl kind of has, especially this year with the time slot. But I get it, not wanting to go back, and that's a long trip. But what? No, like, you don't get to just steal our bowl game because you don't want to go back to another New Year's Six Bowl. Like, this is our opportunity to get one. We can't let them take that from us. That's ridiculous.
Hear me out. Hear me out, fellas.
I think they're making the playoff.
I think they are, too. I think somebody in the top – I think somebody's somebody in the back half of the top four is going to lose, but – hear me out. I'll give Ohio State the Orange Bowl. Send the Big Orange to the Rose Bowl.
I'd go there.
Who would be the matchup right now?
Washington, Oregon.
Yeah. Okay.
That'd be fun.
It wouldn't be the loser of the Pac-12 championship.
Well, if Utah loses, Washington. A lot of people think Utah with four losses, right, is going to get bumped down.
Well, it's stupid, just like Ryan Day is stupid. Ryan Day looks like somebody drew Butch Jones from memory. Good day, gentlemen.
Thank you, Trent. Appreciate it. Straight from the Rose Bowl website, Sean sends this in. In a cluster situation, well, we've got one, the Tournament of Roses will take into account factors in no particular order, such as the last time a team played in the Rose Bowl game, head-to-head results, regular season schedule, overall record, opponents played, past playoff or bowl appearances and performance, and historical matchups. It should be noted that it is the strong preference of the Tournament of Roses, Pac-12, and Big Ten conferences that the highest-ranked available team in each conference be selected as the replacement team. So, according to the Rose Bowl, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, they all want the second-best team or the highest-rated non-playoff team in the Rose Bowl, and Ohio State is saying, no, we don't want to do that. We want to go to the Orange Bowl because we went to the Rose Bowl last year. Why do they get to do that? Like, buddy, you just lost at home. Like, you don't get to make this call. You played a crap schedule. You had one big game at home at the end of the year, and you got pounded. No, you don't get to do that. Why would they get preferential treatment? Why would they get to pick where they go? Hickman is fuming. Fuming. Also, I read this to you guys during the break, but there is a College Football Playoff resume rankings Twitter that puts together all the different resumes of the, I think, top 10. They may do the entire top 25. And compares the resume to where the committee has those teams slotted. Okay, that makes perfect sense. This tweet from last night says, the race for number four has two glaring committee mistakes in this week's top five. According to, and this is, I don't know exactly how they weight this, but there is a strength rating and a strength rank, a raw resume rating and a raw resume rank, and then they average those together to give you your total resume rating and total resume rank. This is not you're 11-1, and that's obviously better than 10-2. This is who have you played, how have you played, how have you beaten certain teams, what games did you lose, and where. According to the resumes themselves, so not the eyeball test, not the, oh, the quarterback's injured, blah, 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 just the, what have you accomplished on the field this year, Southern Cal should be at 7th. They have the 7th best resume in the top 10. Ohio State still has the 4th best resume.
How?
In the top 10.
They've beaten Penn State. That's it.
Well, because Penn State is now number 10, or what, 8. They moved them up so high.
Which
is a little bit of a, like, it's weird, right, because the committee making mistakes can help or hurt your resume because they overvalue Penn State, even though Ohio State and Michigan both pounded Penn State. I guess they think Penn State is pretty good. The interesting part is when you get to Alabama and Tennessee, currently ranked 6th and 7th, respectively. Tennessee's resume comes in at number 5. Bama's comes in at 6. So they've got the order right with, or no, they've got it wrong. They've got the teams right at 5, 6, and 7, but it should be Ohio State, Tennessee, Alabama, and it should be 4, 5, and 6. Now, granted, it is Southern Cal and the Pac-12 champ. If they were to go 12-1, they're in at this point, obviously, because the committee has them 4. But it is funny that when you look at what the teams have accomplished to this point, just their resume, which is what I think you're supposed to be doing. It's so weird. Is this a projection or an accomplishment or a combination of both? They don't really tell you. They say we're trying to get the best teams. Okay, well, are you saying the best teams if they played head-to-head or the best teams based on what they've accomplished to this point? And they change it every week, and they change it within the rankings. Like, oh, yeah, well, we think this team would beat that team, so they're ahead. This team beat that team, but we don't think they're as good now. They change it around all the time. But according to resumes only, Ohio State should be 4, Tennessee should be 5, Bama should be 6, and Southern Cal should be 7. We'll hit our final break, hour number one. Get to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines when we get back. If you want to join, 865-546-8200. It's 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back to the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio. It is 3 and Out. We go right back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Get Roberto wrapping up hour number one. Good morning, Roberto. Are you steaming like
good
we
morning,
are?
Good morning, gents. Am I what?
Steaming.
No, because I understand that human beings are flawed, and they're especially flawed when their biases are played in.
Yeah.
So, no, that's what I was actually going to call about. It's like, and he's maybe, I would argue, as far as all this stuff is concerned, the smartest person I know, okay? And he's sitting here, and he's trying to logically walk through all these steps, and I just responded last night. I was like, brother, you're trying to use logic and reason where only bias applies, basically, is what I said. I mean, here's the other thing, Houston, you said, oh, if they, and I agree, by the way, if they undervalue this team or overvalue this team, it immediately affects your team's ranking, right?
Right.
What's to say they're not doing that intentionally?
Sure.
I mean, the fact that Penn State somehow miraculously jumped all the way to 8th this week after getting, I mean, they were thrashed by Michigan, right? And they were thrashed by Ohio State.
Yeah, let me pull up those scores just so we have them. Michigan beat them 41-17. Ohio State
beat them, that game away.
Yeah, they were in the Ohio State
game.
5
turnovers.
44-31. So a 13-point loss at home to Ohio State. They did lose at Michigan 41-17.
Which only goes to prove my point more, actually, based on what you guys just said. They need Ohio State to be in 5th they need it, like they need air. Okay? So, I mean, Ohio State and them getting, you know, the thrashing, and they did take a thrashing by Michigan. I couldn't remember the final score in the Ohio State game, and you're right, they were in that game. I remember watching it. But the Michigan game, they were never, in my opinion, it was never going to be close. That Michigan just thoroughly dominated them. Well, that doesn't play to their need now for their bias, right?
Right.
So actually, if you want to approach this from, are you ready for it? A big conspiratorial side, or as I call it, I'm a coincidence enthusiast.
I like that a lot, actually.
Yeah, not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a coincidence enthusiast. I would just say that that plays more even into their bias. And some of these Alabama people are poking fun and you know, pointing their fingers and flipping us off and thumbing their nose at us or pulling their fingers out of their butt and sniffing it or whatever they do down in Alabama. And I'll just say this, like, you lost to us. And you can't take that away. You can be ranked higher. You can go to a better bowl. But you can't take that. You cannot take October the 15th away from us. You can't. Oh, you tore down your goalposts for this. You paid $100,000 in fines. Yep. You're damn right. And we beat you on the field. Because that's the only time we're going to get to play this year. And ironically, you're not going to make the playoffs either. So there would be no shot for you to play anybody else a second time either. So again, just going into it, at every single turn, there's six teams, right? There's five or six teams that they're going to get in. The logic is, and it holds, Ohio State, Alabama, I would argue USC is on the fringe of that, but let's just say Oklahoma and Georgia. Those are four, maybe five teams that are always going to get the benefit of the doubt because they're the biggest brands in college football right now.
Would you throw Clemson in there lately?
Yeah, sure.
I feel like they could lose the help really quickly, but for now, if they're close, they're probably getting in.
I'll go with yes. The irony of what you just said, and actually it's not ironic, it's coincidence enthusiast. They only dropped one spot for losing to South Carolina and we at home,
yep.
And we dropped five for losing on the road with a quarterback that ripped his ACL in half. There, again, you know, at first, I can't remember this, R.J. Johnson, R.J. Smith, something on the Twitter.
R.J. Young, yeah. Fox.
R.J. Young, thank you. I hated him early in the year, and all of a sudden he's come around to using logic and reason, and basically logic and reason to explain media bias, or I should say brand bias, which is what I'm calling this, and he's exactly right. Everything he said for the last week has been dead on. And as long as you put it through the lens of brand bias, you can't miss. It's too easy. Guys, additionally, your boy got on here yesterday morning and called about every single shot that was going to happen yesterday at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard American time. And it did, didn't it?
It did. Yeah. So you won your parlay, right?
No, I missed because Iran only had one, not three corners.
Oh, gotcha.
So I hit everything in my parlay. I actually hit everything in my parlay by the 38th minute of the game, except for Iran having two corners. You know what, though, guys? Berto's happy to throw away $15 for America. I do it about every April the 15th anyway. but, I'm happy to throw away some money. I was sitting there, and I'm like, if they get two corners from here out, we're giving up a goal. I would just rather lose my bet. I'm going to be happy. Mm. We're going to win. Captain America's going to be okay. He's going to come back on Saturday, even though his testicle got kicked up into his stomach. Like, we're going to be fine.
Extraction cool. Coming on, yeah.
He's on every horse tranquilizer known to man today.
Yeah, that picture from the ambulance, you could tell. He was injected with the good stuff.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Man, we go get you high, man. at the end of the day, I know nobody here is a huge World Cup fan, but I'm going to talk about it because I like it and it's awesome. International soccer, if you've never been to a match, is life-changing stuff. Anybody I know that goes to one goes, man, that was an experience, no matter who they're playing. I'll just say this. I think we're on the you're on the cusp of another huge upset today. If Denmark somehow doesn't make the round of 16, that's a huge upset. The Saudis could win today. If they win today, I don't think they're going to, but if they win today, they're through. And these are huge upsets that you guys are seeing. You're probably seeing the most upset-riddled World Cup in history.
Yeah.
And it's been awesome. And the U.S. playing the Netherlands, guys, this is my take. I watched Senegal yesterday. I didn't want any part of Senegal. I actually talked over lunch with a friend about it. I didn't want any part of Senegal because they're not as skilled, clearly, as the Netherlands, okay? But they're way more athletic.
Yeah.
And that's how we beat teams. We're more athletic, and we're gonna pursue the ball. We're going to get on the ball more than you are, right? We're not going to possess the ball more than you are, but we're going to get to the ball faster than you do. And that's how America is winning games. We're just more athletic. We're not as skilled. So I don't like head-on-head matchups. I like diversity in your matchup. I want you to be the opposite of the team you're trying to beat. And the Netherlands, for all their skill and amazing players, they're not as athletic. They're just not very fast. So I think America actually pulled the lucky, if you want to call it that, they pulled the lucky matchup for Saturday. Can't wait to see you guys. I'm expecting to see you guys out at the watch parties around town on Saturday. Have a great day, gents.
Thanks, Roberto. Appreciate the call. Yeah, we're going to get into the United States victory in the World Cup yesterday, probably a little bit, an hour or two.
All right, I'll take off that segment.
Did you watch any of it?
No.
Oh, really? None of it?
He was Roberto's, busy.
Roberto's busy. Right. We were so much faster than Iran. It was.
You expect that?
Yeah, but it was like blatant, which was it was awesome. It was great to watch.
How you like your matchup with the Dutch? They're like fifth in the world, fourth in the world.
Oh, that's just what he said. Like they're not as athletic,
and
there's a chance Senegal, if you face them, they go out and kind of lay an egg. But yeah, Netherlands. That's,
y'all will have to walk it through. To me,
we can do that.
What happens next for the U.S.?
Okay, well, we're definitely going to do that.
I know I'm a soccer prodigy. You know, it's one thing me and Brett have in common.
Yes, that's what I describe you as to people.
We can tease a little bit, but how does Hooker get on the Maxwell finalist list, but not the Davey O'Brien list?
Yeah, there's a lot of questionable things going on right now in all of college football. I also want to talk a little bit about we mentioned this maybe a month ago. The College Football Playoff Committee, Tennessee did not have a single advocate on this board. Not a single person. And
you would think Ohio State doesn't either.
No.
Just by the look, it's very Michigan heavy.
It's Big Ten heavy is what I think. And that's a frustrating scenario for Tennessee fans, and I think it played out exactly the way we expected it to. We'll kick off hour number two, 3 and Out, Fan Run Radio.